Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You know, Chris Adderola, he's a veteran. He's a hard puncher. And, you know, we did what we had to do. We won the victory. But you remember, I was low to the lowest, and I have to come back to the ladders. Yeah, keep booing, bro. It's all good. But like I said, we did what we got to do, and thanks to God that we got this victory, and now to the next.
It was an incredible battle. It started a little adverse for you in terms of the knockdown. Did he have you hurt in those early rounds?
Yeah, he got me with a good, clean right hand. I dropped my hand a little bit. I was too overconfident, but, you know, tops off to Chris Adderola. He got me with a good one, but I kept going, and I kept going. And you know what? We got the victory.
It's not as though you haven't been there before and come back.
Andy Ruiz, of course, formerly Auntie Louise, looking okay against Chris Adderola a couple of weeks ago, although he got dropped at one point in the fight and he was staggered in the same round. At the end of the day, he was the unanimous decision winner. Reason why I started off the show with him is that people say to me, is he the Mexican-American star that will take over Canelo's spot? Nobody's going to take over Canelo's spot. Canelo is the king of boxing. I mean, forget, people are dreaming about that. I mean, nobody's going to beat him for a long time. I just don't see it, and there's no way, no how. Bottom line is, he was spectacular last week, of course, in stopping Billy Joe Saunders. I saw it. The seventh round was very decisive. I mean, he was dominant. He hit him to the body, hit him to the head through that left uppercut, of course, that crushed the optical bones around here. And once you crush those orbital bones all around the eyes, you're sort of toast, right? And people say to me, oh, he quit like a dog. He didn't want to come out. No, he didn't quit like a dog. He was a beaten man. At the end of the night, Billy Joe was a loser. Canelo was a winner. Boxing fans won. I thought it was a good fight. Although it wasn't the best opponent out there for Canelo, it was a decent opponent. He was undefeated, and he had a WBO title to go along with that. Bottom line is, he was a worthy opponent, and he didn't come out for the eighth round. So people are screaming. We'll take it to the East Coast and bring in the Bronx Bomber. I'm talking with Mr. Socrates Palmer. And how are you, Mr. PhD, sir?
I'm doing fine, Pedro. How's it going?
Hey, things are fine. Let me get a quick take on Canelo's performance last week.
Wow. Canelo Alvarez showed once again, he put the, just in case there's any doubt, he is, like you said, the king of boxing right now. He is the pound for pound best fighter in the world. He is the dollar for dollar biggest draw in boxing. And it was a competitive fight. Billy Joe Saunders gave a gallant effort. But, you know, there's a difference between a very good fighter and a great fighter, and especially one who's in his prime. At no point Canelo had any fear of Billy Joe Saunders' punching power. And when that's the case, Canelo's just going to walk through the opponent, you know. Billy Joe had his moments, but Canelo was just relentless. He didn't look beautiful in some aspects, but it was just slow, devastating shots. And ultimately, it made Billy Joe Saunders quit on the stool.
Okay, 73,000 fans, 400,000 new DAZN viewers. I guess the king of boxing sort of made a statement there, didn't he?
Absolutely. You know, boxing, they just, I don't know, it's just something from the heavens, but it has a way of just creating superstars like no other sport, you know. And, yeah, there's some that are bigger than others, but this is the reign of Canelo Alvarez. You know, he is a crossover. He has crossover appeal. Aside from the Mexican fan base, which he has, you don't necessarily have to be Mexican to be a fan of Canelo Alvarez. Was it, like you said earlier, was it the best opponent? Maybe not, but it's a very credible opponent. You know, someone that was undefeated, someone with the title. And he fought in a way that you don't feel, not like buying a Mayweather pay-per-view. You got your money's worth during that fight.
Well, you know what Larry says about the Mayweather fights? The excitement stops when the bell rings. Oh, all right. Hey, who the blank is Caleb Plant?
Caleb Plant, in my opinion, is, you know, a paper champ. I mean, he is a world champ in this watered-down era of titles. I think he's a solid pro, but... You know, what are his best wins? He beat Usteki, you know, who's a pretty one-dimensional fighter. He beat him soundly. And he beat Caleb Truax. I mean, I don't think he's better than Billy Joe Saunders. You know, maybe he may have the pressured body. He's been in less fights, you know, but I can't see Caleb Plant being anything that you would say, no, Canelo has a chance of losing. No, absolutely not. I think Canelo beats him worse than he did Billy Joshua.
Okay, who would be next in your mind? I mean, Benavidez, the Charlo brother, or the better Charlo. Where do you want to go there? After Caleb Plant.
Well, Canelo has said, and it's to nobody's, shouldn't be to anyone's surprise. About a year ago, he said that he wanted to unify 168. So the logical choice is Caleb Plant. Now, the question is, will Caleb Plant put a number high enough for him to have an excuse when Canelo's people tell him no? You know, because Caleb Plant could have had that fight, if you remember, several months ago when he turned it down. But Caleb Plant is the logical choice if you're going to follow Canelo's blueprint, which is to unify. The best fight, I would love to see him, as far as animosity goes right now, is Demetrius Andre. You know, they had a nasty run-in.
Please.
Well, I mean, just for the fact, it should be the easiest fight to make because they're both under the same promotional banner. Demetrius Andre looked good enough to lose his last time out.
Yeah, but like Larry says, I hate to interrupt you. Boxing's PhD, of course, come to us from the Bronx. Uh-huh. Talk about Socrates Palmer. But the problem with Mr. Andrade is he doesn't fight back. You know what I mean? He doesn't fight. Yeah, I mean, his fights are like, they're terrible. And like Canelo said, who did you win? Who did you beat? You're champion, but who did you beat? You fought nobody, nothing.
Right. You know, that's true. You know, but then again, I mean, Canelo became champion by beating Matthew Patton. So, but, I mean, if I, you know, could run things, if I could book the territory, so to speak, let Canelo fight Caleb Plant, get a nice payday for Mr. Plant. You know, he'll get beat up in the process, and have Demetrius Andre fight Charlo. That's, and then the winner of that can say, okay, not that you have to earn it, but you know, whoever wins that fight is a credible opponent for a mega fight. You know, Benavidez may be the most action-packed fight, but I just think he's too one-dimensional. You know, I think you may see a more cautious Canelo, and he'll outbox Benavidez.
Last question before we go to the break here with boxing's PhD Socrates Palmer as I wreck the cameras here in the studio. Bitabev, is Canelo good enough to beat this guy, Bitabev, Artur Bitabev? That's what a question came in this week on the text line.
Well, I'll tell you what. Bitabev is a beast, but he's older. And he has talked about retiring. And once an athlete, like Bill Parcells, starts talking about retirement, they basically should retire. I think Bitabev would be better off fighting Bivol. That would be a really good fight, and those are the two best light heavyweights. But Canelo Alvarez, I don't think should fight Bitabev at this stage. I don't think it's a wise move.
Boxing's PhD coming to us from the Bronx, folks. Mr. PhD himself, Socrates Palmer. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, aka WBC Boxing TV. My name is Pedro Fernandez. If you're catching us live on Sports Byline or iHeartRadio or anything like that, bottom line is we do a live stream broadcast at twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. You can check us live. You can check us delayed. The highlights, bottom line is we're rocking and rolling twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, taken by Tower of Power to the break.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
Are we ready? You gonna run the one more?
5:30.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Mighty Tower of Power, bring us back for the break. You ought to be having fun. We're having a blast here in the studios, believe me. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look from the world of boxing, MMA, of course, open phone lines around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, boxing's PhD on the line from the Bronx. I'm talking about Mr. Socrates Palmer. And Sock, I got some fights I want to press you on. Let's talk about tonight's Showtime fight with Figueroa and Neary. Is Neary that good? I mean, I think he's like excellent, but then again, I've been known to overrate guys.
Yeah, you know, his record says he's excellent. I think it's a really good fight. Figueroa is kind of like, we can get every once in a while the Mexican against the Mexican-American. Going back, they have Salvador Sanchez and Lula Lopez and Israel Vasquez and Marquez. Those, you know, there's that internal rivalry, you know, who's more Mexican. It should be a really good fight. Both guys are kind of looking for a career-defining moment and a win over another undefeated champ, although Figueroa comes from that PBC world. He kind of questions those world titles. They don't really put those guys in too tough, you know, and they become multi-time world champions. So I think it's more Figueroa has to prove that he's legit against a guy like Neary, who's been pretty solid pro and a dominant champion up to this point.
Well, it's a unification match, no doubt about that, 122 pounds now. Let's move on as far as the boxing calendar is concerned. Ramirez versus Taylor next week. Josh Taylor, of course, the man from mid-California, Mr. Jose Ramirez, battling out for 140-pound supremacy. How does that fight go?
If I had a quarter in my pocket, I'd be flipping it, you know, right now. I think it's a real pick-em fight. Josh Taylor really surprised the world when he beat up the favorite of the tournament that he won. He beat Regis Prograis. And just basically outworked him. You know, Josh Taylor is like a mini Joe Calzaghe. The guy doesn't get tired. And Ramirez is a beast on the low, man. He's a, you know, my take is this. I always go with the puncher. And, you know, when in your mind, you're like, wow, this is a real close, anyone could win this. I always defer to the puncher, so I have to go with Ramirez. But it's really a great fight. You know, we're getting treated, you know, another unification, you know, so that way it clears the way of who is the best 140-pounder in the world. Excellent fight.
No doubt about that. 140 pounds, of course, the junior welterweight division. 147, are we going to see unification between Crawford and Spence ever or what?
Wow. You know what? It's the way it's looking. It's like I've seen this story before, you know, Pacquiao Mayweather, it'll happen, but I don't think it's going to happen in this year. I know that Bud, his contract is almost up at Top Rank. They're not at the best of terms. Who knows? I hope it does happen, but I don't see it happening in 21.
Devin Haney and Jorge Linares, is that a matchup worthy of a WBC matchup title?
I think so. You know, Jorge Linares has a lot of miles on those tires, but he's always been a really good, classy fighter. He's had moments of brilliance, and he's also had moments that it kind of falls apart, you know, but you look at his resume, he's been in there against the best. You know, Lomachenko is nothing to sneeze at. I think it's a great fight. Let's see how his face holds up against a young fighter who's got very fast hands, and he should have a chip on his shoulder after his dreadful performance last time out against a very shot Yuri Gamboa.
Okay.
And he was unimpressive, so.
Nonito Donaire, 38 years old, of course, his claim to fame, his big jump on the boxing world was It was July 7, 2007 when he knocked out Vic Tarchini. And of course, Vic got knocked out. Vic was the classic example of why you don't interview a guy on TV after he's been knocked out, because he was knocked out cold. He was snoring like that. And then when they woke him up and they interviewed him afterwards, he said, "Knocked out? I wasn't even knocked down." Anyway, he didn't remember getting knocked out until they showed it to him on TV. And that didn't compute well. When he was watching himself get knocked out on TV, that was a little weird. Anyway, bottom line is, the long story short, Nonito Donaire, 38 years old, taking on a very tough guy. This guy is Nordine, 17 and zip. He's got a WBC title. Is this the last stand for the Filipino Flash?
You know what? I thought it was when he fought in Onway, the monster, and he gave a great showing. It's hard to believe, like you said, that was 2007, you said?
2007. 7-7, 2007.
That's amazing. Almost 15 years ago. And, you know, he is a Hall of Famer for sure. I'm actually very surprised. If you had asked me in 2010, if I thought Nonito Donaire would still be fighting, I'd say no, because he was a guy that was kind of like media savvy, he was into photography, you know, that he was doing well, but I guess he's a competitor. You know, he's a competitor. He keeps himself in good shape. I just hope he doesn't get hurt. You know, this is not the type of sport that you hang around too long, you know, especially at the lighter weight class. But Nonito's a classic fighter, Hall of Fame. He deserves to go out on his own terms. So,
you know, his lovely wife, Raquel, is his manager, and she sort of irked the boxing world a little bit. So I wonder if maybe that didn't work against him having her as his manager. Remember, Shane Mosley had his wife, Jen, as his manager, and she turned down $7 million to fight Oscar De La Hoya and took $1.5 million to fight Vernon Forrest.
And got beat up, yes.
And got lit up like a White House Christmas tree.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes, you know, I don't like that at all. I mean, okay. I know we've had other cases. Guy tapped his wife, I believe, was his manager as well. You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You know,
I'm not a big fan. Listen, I understand that you want the old lady in there so she could take the monster cut of the pie, the manager's cut, and that kind of good
right.
stuff. So if you hire the right advisor, you know, like a Mort Sharnick or something like that, you can get by like that. But, you know, I don't know. Having the old lady as a manager has sort of worked against a lot of guys, I thought. Teofimo and Ken Brassis. Does the kid from Australia have a shot here?
No. But that wasn't too deep, right? No, I don't think he's got a shot at all. I think he reminds me of Vinny Fazienda. That's exactly what he reminds me of. He's a gutsy guy. I think he's going to be a little bit too brave for his own good. And I think he's going to get smoked like a Cohiba.
Okay, good enough. Kevin McBride is going to take on Evander Holyfield. Now listen, I could beat Kevin McBride. I don't care if he's 250 pounds or not. I'd beat him. This wouldn't even be close. Talent wise, there's no comparison. He's fighting Evander Holyfield. Of course, he was the last guy to fight, Mike Tyson in a real fight in 2004. And of course, he beat up Mike Tyson, which was sort of sad, but then he realized that Tyson lost to a couple of bums before that. So Tyson was on his way out. Anyway, bottom line is, what about this fight?
Well,
is it a fight?
Like I said, it's an even matchup because one really isn't that talented and the other guy is really, really old, you know. I mean, so I guess it evens out as far as competitiveness goes. Evander's body, you know, he always looks in great shape, you know, but, you know, sometimes so do I, but that doesn't mean that I can go 12 rounds, you know. Age is undefeated and I just hope Evander doesn't get hurt.
Well, let's give Evander Holyfield his props for being in the Guinness Book of World Records. 11 women, 11 children.
Well, you know, he's very biblical, he's a very religious man, and it is, it's in the Bible. The Bible says to, you know, procreate and be fruitful, and, you know, 11 kids. I didn't know it was that much.
11 and, wow. 11 and 11, that's what I was told. That's almost like the double digit abortions Marilyn Monroe got down there in Tijuana. Holy cow. Anyway, Mayweather and this guy Logan Paul, Jake Paul, who the hell are the Paul? Who are these guys Pauls? Are they boxers?
I guess they are. The one thing they are, they're money makers. You know, I had no idea who they were until about 2 years ago, and then I saw that one of them had like 20 million Instagram followers. And you know what? I can't knock someone who's found their niche, and the Pauls have in this great world of capitalism that we live in. And, if you want to pay your hard earned money to watch Floyd Mayweather against Logan Paul, then more power to you.
But here's what's up. You could go back and look at the videotape of me knocking out that big dude last year at the Chaparral Taqueria on Mission Street, and that was a better fight than probably this Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul thing's going to be. Come on, man. Floyd's like 90 years old, and this guy's like 50 pounds heavier. How do you expect this to go?
Yeah, this is right out of, you know, Ringling and Barnum and Bailey, you know. But, like, you know, I said it about a month ago. You know, Muhammad Ali fought these type of exhibitions, you know, it's a good way to get paid, it's a good way to get attention to the sport, but at the same time, does it need it? You know, like, Mayweather's awesome, amazing career, made more money than anybody, but he really has hurt the sport, you know, more than he's probably helped it. The last several years.
Well, you know, I keep saying it, you know, the excitement stops when the bell rings, and if Mayweather is in pornography, and two things matter, and as far as size, of course, size, talk about pornography in combat sports, but there would be no money shots with Floyd Mayweather. It would just be like pretty bull. Anyway, it is what it is. So he's going to do this thing with Triller. Triller obviously is putting out there some money. Is Snoop Doggy Dogg, is this his thing or what?
I lost you, brother. Hello?
Is Snoop Doggy Dogg, is it Triller? Is that Snoop Doggy Dogg or what?
I think he's got some money in it. He seems like he's their number one color commentator. You know, he's got some good one-liners. Him and Oscar, I don't know if Oscar's going to be there as well.
You mean Oscar De La Fishnets?
Oscar De La Fishnets, yeah.
Okay, now real quick, have you tried any of Tyson's weed?
No, not yet, no.
Good
enough. But I'm using it for CBD oil, the RVD CBD oil. It's pretty good for drug pain.
All right, much love. We'll talk soon. Say hello to the agent and the wife.
Thank you, brother. Have a great rest of the weekend.
The great Socrates Palmer, boxing's only PhD, live on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, and WBC Boxing TV. Guess what? I take boxing A to Z. I go under the carpet, under the table. Next up on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, it's the gossip in the boxing world and UFC.